This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Protesters took over Trump Tower today. That was really stupid, really dumb, but hey, they don't seem to make much sense with their protests, do they? That's why when they block traffic, I hate whatever cause they're supporting, no matter what it is. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. The president has just filed an emergency request to the United States Supreme Court to rule on the question of birthright citizenship. This just broke a few moments ago. He has brought the argument to the United States Supreme Court, asking them for an emergency intervention to limiting lower court rulings that are blocking his plans to restrict birthright citizenship. The Justice Department's ask comes after three federal appeals courts blocked the administration from moving forward. Now, the concept of birthright citizenship essentially goes like this. What does it mean to be born an American citizen? Is it just merely being born on U.S. soil, or do you have to be born to people on U.S. soil who have a legal claim to the United States of America? That's the question. Now, it's not that complicated of a question if you look at the 14th Amendment. And you go back to when the 14th Amendment was ratified in the 1860s, and you understand the debates and the arguments and how this issue was literally addressed. But the 14th Amendment has been bastardized for so many different things. The 14th Amendment had nothing to do with sex or marriage or anything else for that matter. It literally was about ensuring that freed black people would be American citizens and that their kids would be American citizens and that that no state could restrict their rights as an American citizen just because they were black or they were slaves who were black. That's it. That's what it was about. And back then, because it was the 1860s, if you were a diplomat, came to this country, you would spend years here. You would basically spend 4 or 5, you'd raise kids here. You'd have kids here. You'd raise kids here. Your kids would not be U.S. citizens. And the understanding was because you did not have a legal claim to U.S. citizenship. You know, the ambassador to France comes to the United States with his wife and kids, and they have more kids and the whole family, but they're not citizens. They have to go back to France. That's the way it was. And that was also argued at the time during the ratification process that this would not be meant for other countries to be able to send people here for the purposes of taking over the United States of America, because that was a legitimate concern back then as well. You know, how do you ensure a foreign country wouldn't come here and just send a bunch of people with the hopes of becoming citizens and then have a takeover? That also came up during the arguments during the ratification. So if you actually look at the context of this, then it's a very simple answer, actually. Somebody comes across the border illegally, it does not have a legal right to be in the United States of America, does not have a legal claim to the United States, then their kids don't either, even though they were born on U.S. soil. You know, I mean, and that's just the way it goes. Now, I'm not suggesting that we take away citizenship from people who were born on U.S. soil, who up until now have been considered citizens. I think that would be insane. But going forward, once we clarify this by the courts, you say from this point forward, just simply being born on U.S. soil isn't enough. You have to have a legal claim to citizenship, meaning that your parents have to be here legally, or a parent has to be here legally, or a parent has a reason to be here that would then transfer that citizenship onto you. Meaning that the people in question don't have an allegiance to another country, because that's the other point of the 14th Amendment, which is that you want to ensure that people who have allegiance to the United States of America, that their kids have allegiance to the United States of America, that their kids are citizens. That's the other point of this. And right now, it's so abused where you've got an entire industry of tourism where people will come here to the United States of America, pregnant women from China and other countries. They'll spend a couple months here, get a hotel, just so that their kids can be born U.S. citizens, get that birth certificate, then they go back to China. And this is a real thing. It is the birthright citizenship tour. The Justice Department asks comes after three judges, as I mentioned, have tried to block this. Quote, at this stage, the government comes to this court with a modest request. While the parties litigate weighty merits questions, the court should restrict the scope of multiple preliminary injunctions that purport to cover every person in this country, limiting those injunctions to parties actually within the court's power. Trump signed the executive order narrowing birthright citizenship on his first day back in the White House. It purports to limit the 14th Amendment's birthright citizenship guarantee to exclude children born on U.S. soil to parents without permanent legal status. And this is something I've been saying for years. The Supreme Court is ultimately going to have to rule on. Now, here's the bad news, kids. I don't think the Supreme Court's going to rule our way on this. I really don't. It'll be a 5-4 decision. You know where John Roberts is going to be. You know where the lefty judges are going to be. And sadly, you know where Amy Coney Barrett's probably going to be on this, too. So it'll be a situation where you've got Justice Samuel Alito and Justice Gorsuch and Justice Clarence Thomas, who will all look at this through the eyes, and Kavanaugh, who will all look at this through the lens of the original intent of the 14th Amendment. And Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts will side with the left, and in a 5-4 decision, I hope I'm wrong, but the court will conclude that because Roberts is never going to want to overturn this. I cannot see John Roberts wanting to do that. It was hard enough to get the guy to go along with overturning Roe v. Wade. I can't imagine the Roberts court being the court that changes something that has been essentially precent since the early 1900s, after a case regarding a Chinese national was heard before the Supreme Court. We'll see. Again, I'm not an attorney. I don't pretend to play one. I love the Constitution, and I love the view of the Constitution through the lens of which something was passed at the time that it was passed. I don't like the modern way of thinking in 2025 when something was ratified in 1868. You got to go back to that time. And then if you want to pass an amendment to the Constitution that says anybody born on U.S. soil is an American citizen, I would be fine with having that debate. I'd be fine with letting the states have that debate. And if two-thirds of the states want to ratify that, okay, then now it's in the Constitution. But that's not what the 14th Amendment guarantees. It just doesn't guarantee that. That's just the bottom line. But I don't have a lot of faith that this court is going to be I don't see Roberts wanting to overturn this in this situation. Though some on the Supreme Court have raised concerns about such injunctions, the court has declined previous opportunities to lay down firm rules over if they are permitted. Most recently, the court refused an invitation to do so from the Biden-era Justice Department in its waning days on a number of different things. So they might turn around and say, nah, let this play through the process, which is probably what they're going to do. And then it could be years till the Supreme Court actually hears this case. Or they can say, sure, we'll take it up now, and then we'll put the issue to bed. but we'll see. Another federal judge today ruled that the president can't fire anybody, which is insane, too. That's a federal district court judge. These district court judges, we've talked a lot about this. It's nuts. It really is nuts to all of us. And I've had it with this because I think truly, I mean, I really do. I mean, why have elections if an unelected circuit court judge can just turn around and say, well, it doesn't matter what this guy who got elected by the American people and won the Electoral College and the popular vote wants to do. I'm a district court judge. I can block him. I'll block everything. And that's what you see happening. It's judicial tyranny of the utmost degree. And the Supreme Court needs to stop this. They need to the Chief Justice needs to slap these lower courts down and say, you don't have the authority. You're a district court judge. You're making a ruling for the entire country, overturning something that the elected president of the United States has put into place. You don't have that kind of power. That's not why we have a judicial branch of government, despite what people on the left think. Oh, and since we're talking about all things woke, I meant to get to this yesterday. I did not have a chance to get to this. As I mentioned to you, I went to the University of Maryland. Spent many wonderful years in College Park. I remember a few of them. And I'm a turtle. I'm a turtle. I'm a terp, a terrapin. A terrapin is a turtle that is indigenous to the brackish waters of the Chesapeake Bay. Brackish meaning salt and also fresh. That part of the Chesapeake Bay up in the northern part of Maryland is brackish because it comes in from fresh rivers and then it goes in and then you've got the ocean down at the bottom part of the bay down by Virginia. And so you've got a situation where you've got some fresh and some salt and it's brackish and that's where the terrapin comes in. And we are the terrapins and fear the turtle is literally what we say. Fear the turtle. But I don't think I'm an actual friggin' turtle. I think I'm a human being who identifies with my team's mascot, but I don't identify as my team's mascot, meaning literally I don't think I'm a freaking turtle. But there is a crazy person who does. Matt, what number is this one of the gender turtle?
It would be cut 24.
All right. Now, if you are going to identify as a turtle, by the way, it better be one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And for your love of pizza. But that's the only justification you have for doing this. Here's an insane person, J.D. Terrapin, whose pronouns are turtle and they, them, member of the 21-person panel that recommends policies about mental health, addiction, or substance abuse treatment. I think if you are on a panel that recommends policies on mental health and you think you're a freaking turtle, you're in the wrong job. I'm just saying. I'm going out there. I'm going to go out on a limb. You're in the wrong job. You shouldn't be recommending policies about mental health. You should be getting mental health treatment. Cut 24.
Hello, everybody. It's JD Turtle and pronouns. Pronouns are turtle and they, them.
Hello, everybody. It's JD. I use they, them or turtle for pronouns.
Hello, everybody. It's JD, they, them and turtle for pronouns in the Springfield, Eugene area.
Yeah, so again, here's the thing. All right, we're now identifying as turtles. That's a real thing. We identify as a turtle. I just don't know why I can't identify as Batman. I really don't. I don't know why I can't identify as Batman. It just seems to me like if a person can identify as a turtle, I should at least be able to identify as Batman. And then there was that moment where that member of Congress was misgendered. And that caused all the outrage. I'm going to get to that in just a second as well. But let me just share this with you. This is, let's see here. Hang on. Oh, you see now? Look at that. I was thinking to myself, you know what I was thinking earlier too? I was thinking about whether or not we've reached peak crazy in this world. And I thought maybe the transgender turtle thing would be peak crazy. It's not peak crazy. It's not peak crazy at all. Because peak crazy in this day and age of 2025, the year which we live right now, peak crazy would be this. Representative Rosa DeLauro courting youth supporters. This woman is 197 years old with purple hair. And she has a nickname for herself. Okay, now we've reached peak crazy. This is September 2024. Remember, I put a picture out of her during the joint address to Congress. Purple-haired lunatic, member of Congress, Representative Rosa DeLauro, and she has her own nickname. Cut 25.
Yo, this is the Ranking Rizzler on Appropriations, serving Connecticut's 3rd District. It's time to enter your dark academia Congress era. All right, besties, House Appropriation is the money moves in Congress. We are not chasing the bag, we are the bag. Democrats are making life smoother through government funding. It's giving, it's giving. So Sigma, main character energy. But Republicans' project 2025 is mad sus. Eliminating the Department of Education? Negative aura points. Basically, the biggest phantom tax on the environment, on your education, and your rights. Big L, posting it online, buddy. Democrats understood the assignment. But go off. See how I keep you informed? Very cutesy, very demure.
The Ranking Rizzler on Appropriations. I think that there should be a law in this country that if you're over 100 years old, you should not be allowed to say sus. How about nobody says sus? How about that? How about just that? Nobody's allowed to say sus. Do you even know what sus means, Matt DeSantis?
I know what it means.
Justin, do you know what it means?
I do know what it means. I pretty much knew everything she said in that thing, and that makes me upset.
Well, you're a Gen Zer?
Yeah.
Can you help us translate the other nonsense she said? What is a ranking Rizzler? What does that mean?
So, yeah, I don't know that one.
The Rizzler, it's ranking is as you would expect it to be, but Rizzler is a rather rotund 6-year-old kid who makes funny faces on the internet. It's a Gen Z shortened word, Riz, for charisma, is basically what it is. So it's basically saying she's the top charisma getter.
What's a shortened word for I want to kill myself listening to this? What were some other Gen Z terms you heard in that rant?
What does skibbity mean?
Skibbity, what's that? Skibbity is a series of YouTube videos. Skibbity toilet. It is particularly incredible brain rot content. Just poorly animated videos in this old video game called Garry's Mod. And it is just repeating the phrase skibbity toilet on repeat for about a minute. And these videos get tens of millions of views, and there's extensive lore and breakdowns that people have taken hours of their time to put together. So that's skibbity.
I have another question.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to ask it. So she mentioned that Project 2025 is mad sus. What does that mean?
Mad sus goes back to the game Among Us. And, you know, in the game, there's 7 to 8 crewmates on a ship, and two of them are the imposters. And your job as a crewmate is to determine who is the imposter. And one of the most common phrases was, so-and-so is acting mad sus, mad suspicious, if you will.
She's 900, she's older than Pelosi, this woman, and she's carrying on like she's Gen Z.
She has no idea what any of the... This is what
no,
her,
none of that.
Her underpaid 19-year-old staffer wrote for her, and she just read it off of paper.
Chris Evelito says she'd be perfect cast as Danny DeVito's wife in Batman. Yeah, like the Penguin's wife. It's good. Mrs. Cobblepot. She does look like a Batman villain. All right, so what do we think is more cringe? Is it the turtle woman, or is it Rosa DeLauro? With her trying to be cool to Gen Z. What's cringier?
Oh, I'm voting Rosa. I don't even think it's close.
You're going Rosa? You're going Rosa? All right, let's put up the poll on YouTube, Kirk, if you'd be so kind. Which video is cringier? Representative Rosa DeLauro trying to sound Gen Z-er, or a gigantic woman who identifies as a freaking turtle? Like I said, I'm a turtle. I'm a terrapin. I don't really mean that I'm an aquatic thing that swims around with a shell on. When I say fear the turtle, I don't mean that I'm an actual freaking turtle. It means that my mascot of the school that I went to college is that's a turtle. This, I can't believe I have to explain this. I can't believe I have to explain this. All right, tell me which video you found to be more cringe. Democrats are leading like it's a daily masterclass in cringe in this country. It really is. It really, really is. I mean, it's just, you know, it's, and yet You have Representative Sarah McBride, who's a Democrat of Delaware, the one that is the transgender, who came out and was called a man the other day because here's the thing. Sarah McBride is a man who now says the Republican Party is obsessed with culture war issues. I don't think that's how we got here. You got a woman identifying as a turtle. I don't think that's how we got here with the Republican Party being obsessed with culture war issues, Representative. And look, you can argue that by saying Mr. McBride, that that's rude, and perhaps the chairman of the committee should have said Representative McBride. I saw Tomi Lahren and somebody else got into a big fight about this yesterday on Twitter, where Tomi Lahren was going on and saying it was rude to say to Congress, Representative McBride, Mr. McBride, that's rude. But then somebody else said, yeah, but you know what? It's the truth. McBride is a man, and we should not have to live a lie. Just like I'm not Batman, just like that other woman's not a turtle, Sarah McBride is not a man. Let me play the hearing itself for you, and then you could also let me know if you think that the chairman of this committee, Chairman Keith Self of Texas, was rude here. So Sarah McBride, again, is a man who identifies as a woman from Delaware, the first openly trans-identifying member of Congress. Cut 18.
I now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ranking Member Keating, also wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat your introduction again, please?
Yes, we have set the standard on the floor of the House, and I'm simply...
What is that standard, Mr. Chairman? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the United States of America, please?
I will. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, you are out of order. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you a little bit, but this is not decent.
We will continue this.
You will not continue it with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way.
This hearing is adjourned.
Have you no decency? What does the dean of decency, Madeline Dean, think of all this anyway? It's okay. We don't need to ask her. But that representative that you heard, and again, you may believe that it would have been more polite for the chairman to just refer to Representative McBride versus Mr. McBride. I understand. Some people think it was rude. Some people think, no, we got to stop allowing this lie to perpetuate in society. Feel free to weigh in. Give me your thoughts on that as well. I know Mama Zioli's listening. Mama Zioli would probably say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, baby. At the same time, it's kind of refreshing to not have to live a lie and say a lie all the time. Just like what if that turtle woman got elected to Congress? In all seriousness. And you didn't recognize her as a turtle. Like, where do we stop with this? If you didn't say, well, the gentle turtle from Delaware, please rise. Like, you know what I'm saying? Where do we stop? Do we just stop at gender, or do we go down the road of... Because you do have kids out there that identify as cats, which is freaking nuts. And then this grown woman, this grown adult identifying as a turtle. So I just want to know, where do we stop with the encouraging of this? Because if that beast of a human being who identifies as a turtle got elected to Congress, and the chairman said, I'm now going to call on Mrs. in that case, what's her name? She's got a name, the turtle lady, right? What is it? Her real name in real life is it's not really J.D. Terrapin, but let's say, for example, the chairman of that committee goes, Mrs. Terrapin. And then the other guy freaks out and goes, have you no decency? What? He said, Mrs. That's a turtle right there. So you should say Representative Turtle, Representative Terrapin. Like, where do we stop is the question. You know what I mean? Like, where do we go with all this? And I don't know. I just, for me, I feel like we're entertaining a giant lie with all this. And I don't know. I mean... I don't know. I get the point about he was being rude. I understand that point, but at the same time, like I kind of felt good about saying, like, we're not going to keep going down this road of crazy. It's got to stop at some point. But I mean, I don't know. I'm probably in the minority opinion on that. Probably most people think he's just rude. But anyway, here's what the member of Congress from the state of Delaware Sarah McBride, cut 19.
We will not take a lecture on decorum from a party that incited an insurrection. I appear to live rent-free in the minds of some of my Republican colleagues. I wish that they would spend even a fraction of the time that they spend thinking about me, thinking about how to lower the costs for American families. I wish they would spend a fraction of the time that they spend thinking about me, figuring out how to make government actually work better, rather than making it work worse in order to prove that government can't work. They are obsessed with culture war issues. The Republican Party is obsessed with culture war issues. It is weird and it is bizarre. And the American people deserve serious legislators, serious elected officials who are focused on bringing people together to deliver real results for the American people, not to play games and not to engage in schoolyard taunts.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that you guys, you people, have been engaged in this culture war crap for years and years and years. And a lot of people were trying to be polite and try to be nice and try. And then you brought it to the kids. You know, then you brought it to the kids. And that's where you lost a lot of people, right? If you just stayed in your lane as adults, then. But the problem is, then you started advocating for kids to play this game and for schools to hide it from the parents and for schools to encourage children that they can also change their gender, which they can't. And I think at that point, you got to say the problem with allowing this, with encouraging this, is that then it inevitably becomes normalized in society and then it affects our children, which it wasn't. Which the case, I wish adults could just be adults, but they turn around and then they fight diligently, like the fight that's going on right now, to say that if a 10-year-old wants to have gender transformation surgery or whatever it's called, gender affirming care or whatever it is, that, yeah, you know what, we should let that kid do that. And so I don't know. I mean, at some point, maybe you turn around and you just say, we're not entertaining this nonsense, okay? We're just not. It's just like it's the same thing with Penn, with the swimmer at Penn. It's like we often pretend like this is a woman when it's not. It's a man. And I don't, you know, maybe sometimes you got to be rude and you just got to say the truth. And also, when did the truth become rude? That's the other question that I have, too. Like, when did saying the truth become considered rude? What do you have to lie for? And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just, it's gotten out of control, and it got out of control the minute that it went into the classroom, and the minute that parents had to, we've had to hear stories of kids who've had these horrific procedures and surgeries and were on drugs, and you listen to the detransitioners and everybody else, and you say, this is not okay. We shouldn't be encouraging this. If anything, we should be giving these people health, whether you think you're a turtle or you think, you know, and maybe that's the compassionate thing to do versus encouraging a lie versus going down this road of saying, yeah, you know, we're going to entertain this fantasy. You know, I don't know. Or maybe he should have just said Representative McBride and called it a day. I don't know. Because a lot of people on my side, your side, potentially of the political aisle, blasted him for being rude. I was surprised at some of them who did so, too. But let's put it this way. Representative Sarah McBride would have no problem with the name calling of Donald Trump, the taunting of Donald Trump. I don't know how many times Sarah McBride has stood up and defended Donald Trump being called a Nazi. I don't know how many times. And he doesn't identify as one. That's for sure. I don't know how many times Representative McBride has stood up and defended Donald Trump from being called a fascist. Like, if we're really going to talk about names here in schoolyard taunts, and then look in the mirror, Congressperson McBride, because your party has been the leaders in name calling, starting with the person in the White House calling him the most horrific things. I don't remember you having press conferences condemning that and saying, why don't we get to the real issues? If anything, your party keeps encouraging this. So. And then ultimately it leads down to Representative McBride being one of the Democrats who support biological men playing against our daughters in schools, sharing locker rooms with them in schools, and going on trips with them in schools. And I can't be okay with that. I'm sorry, I can't. So maybe the right thing to do, the morally right thing to do, is not just to make somebody feel good. It is the greater societal good is to turn around and say, we're not going to encourage lying. We're not going to turn around and say, when we know something's not the truth, we're not going to entertain a lie. Because I learned something early on in life in philosophy, and that is truth for its own sake is very important in life. And if that hurts somebody's feelings, I don't know, maybe so be it. Maybe it's better for society in that sense. So, all right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And yes, yeah, McBride responded to the chairman by saying, thank you, Madam Chair. It could have ended with that, honestly, without the Democrat grandstanding and, you know, I will not stand by and allow you. I mean, to McBride's credit, he did give it right back to him, you know, which I respected. Like, you know, good for you. Like, all right. So he called you Mr. McBride and you gave it right back to him, called him Madam Chairman. Like, all right, it's funny. It's good. But then the other guy has to grandstand and be a jackass. And it probably would have worked out better if that guy just kept his mouth shut and people would have probably been like, hey, look at that McBride. That was quick. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. Listen, Dr. Mike Veneri is going to give you the smile of your dreams because you deserve a beautiful smile. You should have a beautiful smile. And what are you waiting for? Reach out to him today by going to VeneriaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Let Dr. Mike be the guy who transforms your smile. If you need a complicated dental procedure, like an implant, for example, there's no one better. For over 10 years, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been recognized as a master of dental implants among his peers. That says a lot. There are dentists who send their patients to Dr. Mike. Doctors, dentists who send their patients to Dr. Mike Veneria. So don't wait. Reach out to him today by going to VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
No, and listen, I mean, this really was a tough one for me, this whole issue, because years ago I used to advocate, if you're an adult, I'll call you whatever you want to be called because you're an adult. And so if you are a man and you want to be a woman, and I'll respect that and I'll call you ma'am. And that was years ago, but that was before it started affecting our kids. And that's the problem, I think, in looking back on that now, is that the respect that my intention of being respectful to somebody as an adult, of saying, well, listen, you can live your life any way you want as far as I'm concerned, then normalized it, and then all of a sudden it went from being somebody who's an adult choosing to live their life a certain way to the kids and gender affirming, as they're called, surgeries, which are just mutilating bodies, and puberty blockers, which actually don't block puberty, and all this other stuff. And instead of thinking that there'd be bipartisan support for saying no to that crap, it was again a gigantic culture battle, at which I know we're on the right side of, saying no, this is wrong for the kids. But the problem is that, you know, they're teaching our children right now that this is perfectly normal. men can be women, women can be men, boys can be girls, girls can be boys, and they can't. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not science. You can choose to live your life that way, just like I can choose to live my life like Batman, but it's not going to work out well for me. But it's not true. It doesn't make it true. Then again, look, I struggle with this too because Caitlyn Jenner. You know, Caitlyn Jenner is a conservative and is on Fox News all the time, and everybody's always respectful to Caitlyn and calls Caitlyn she, refers to Caitlyn as her. And so I see the other side of it in that respect, too. I mean, it's easy in this sense because I don't like this member of Congress. I find Representative McBride to be a lunatic, quite frankly. I mean, Delaware is a state where you run statewide for your seat, very liberal. But like I think Caitlyn Jenner's spot on with most of the things that are said. So if I were in Caitlyn Jenner's company, I would be polite. I would say, like, I'd be like, you know, nice to see you. I wouldn't purposely be rude about it either. But it would have been nice if we could have just left this with adults, and I would have, the libertarian in me would have just said, you're an adult, live your life, do whatever you want to do. You want to spend your own money and remove body parts, add body parts, whatever, like, knock yourself out. But it didn't end there. And then they started, then people, adults wanted me to pay to indulge in their fantasies, and I don't want to do that either. And that's the other problem that we're at right now. So, you know, maybe normalizing it is not good. Like, maybe it's really just not good for society. All right. The other thing I want to say, too, is that what would be really good for society would be getting the crap out of our food. So I asked you the question earlier. What are some of the ingredients you have found in your food that you've just made you go, huh? Hey, what am I eating? What is this? Have you ever had that situation? Like, I had it today. Opened up something. I'm eating a protein bar. I'm looking down, thinking I'm eating something healthy, and I find out it's not so healthy. Nah, it's got a whole lot of crap in it. So have you had that moment? What's the moment for you? And what was is there a particular ingredient that really caught your eye? Have you started paying more attention to this in your own pantry? Have, as a parent or as a grandparent or as just somebody who's looking to be healthier? Have you? Because I got to be honest with you, years ago, I just didn't care. I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't think it was a big deal. But the more that I've been reading about things and learning about things, the more I keep turning around and going, I don't know if we should be eating this crap. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we should just be eating healthy, unprocessed foods as best we possibly can. And yes, you got to be careful of the oils. And I've told you this before. Not all olive oil is the same. All right. I've told you this. Some olive oils are fugazis. In fact, a lot of them are fugazis. A lot of them are fugazis. They wind up, the Italian mafia is notorious for this. They'll wind up taking olives that aren't olive oils and putting them in with the olive oil. And then they turn around and go, it's real olive oil. No, it's not. It's a blend. It's a fugazi blend. So you got to be careful with that too. And then you got to be careful about getting what you think is olive oil from a certain place, but you read on the label it's olives from, and there's like 8 countries listed. Not necessarily a bad thing, but just know what your olive oil is all about, all right? It's very important. Your olive oil should identify as olive oil, and it shouldn't lie to you. It should be real. Whatever it says, if it's extra virgin, it should really be a virgin. Not like some people I dated who said they were virgins and it turns out that they weren't, but that was many, many years ago, thank God. All right. The president today talking about lots of things on the international front. A shutdown, a showdown. If it is going to be a shutdown, it'll be the Democrats' fault. We're very, very close to peace. Yes, peace with Russia and Ukraine, which would be fantastic. And the other thing that's fake and something that was identifying as something was Biden's Oval Office. So Alina Haber, the president's counsel, gave us a behind-the-scenes look at the Fugazi Oval Office used by President Joe Biden during several photo ops. You remember this? The Fugazi Oval Office. We're going to deal with that as well. I know I got to take a break here in just a second, but let me play for you. This is Alina Haber showing you the Fugazi Oval Office that Joe Biden used to pretend like he was, and I don't know what the purpose of this was. I still can't really figure this out, but take a listen.
You guys, I just finished a show. Look at the room that they put me in. We're in Biden's fake Oval Office, everybody. And I've actually figured this out. I now know why. I now get it. Turn the camera around. There is a screen, teleprompter to the face. All I can say is the last administration was a disgrace.
And a fugazi, Alina Haber. Disgrazie and a fugazi. Make sure you point that out, too. The other thing that was a fugazi was Biden using the auto pen a lot. The president of the United States commented on that today from the Oval Office. And I want to remind you what our buddy Representative Scott Perry said about that yesterday. But before we go to break, I want to give you a little sad Bernie Sanders just to cheer you up, okay? Because I know topic might be a little heavy, but here's what I want you to do. Smile and think, how bad could it be? Bernie is sad, which probably means things are working out pretty good for us in America right now. So thanks for your help coming up with this yesterday on the YouTube chat and on social media, the appropriate song for Bernie Sanders. We went with the song from Platoon, which isn't actually the name of the song, but nevertheless, it's how I know it anyway. Here's sad Bernie Sanders. Take a listen.
With that,
these are, you know, the scariest times in my life. That's all. That's objectively the truth. You know, it is not just they want to give tax breaks to billionaires and cut programs for working people. Frankly, that's happened before. But you combine that with the power of the oligarchy in general. You combine that with Mr. Musk owning Twitter and able to send out his messages to hundreds of millions of people. You combine that with the fact that people like Bezos, the second wealthiest person in the country, fired or got rid of most of his editorial staff and is going to convert them into a right-wing thing. Combine that with the fact that Trump is suing major media outlets and is threatening to investigate PBS and NPR. So it's not only the power of money, it's also combined with that the movement toward authoritarianism. You know, when Trump unilaterally cuts federal funding that was passed by Congress, that is illegal, that is unconstitutional. When you have the vice president saying, well, in his judgment, the courts don't have the right to stop unconstitutional acts of the president, man, that is authoritarianism. That's what the courts are. He is now trying to end what the founding fathers were pretty smart about, creating a form of government where there were checks and balances, you know, a legislative body, an executive body, and a judiciary. So he is moving aggressively in all of these areas. Yeah, there was gravity in my voice. This is a scary moment.
I'm sorry, I'm verklempt. I'm verklempt at this moment. That touched me deeply. Did it touch you deeply? It really, really got to me. It really did. Take a quick break. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so DeSantis, why would I be out at 59? Why would I had to come back at 37 and be out at 45, and then now I got to get out at 59. That makes no sense. The math on that makes no – you're worse at math than I am. That makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense because you didn't take a commercial break until 4:32, and you were supposed to break at around 4:20-ish. So we're like 12 minutes behind.
That makes me sad. Can I get my music? Just my music. I don't need Bernie. I'm just my music.
When you have a clock to deal with, but the oligarchs are constantly trying to tell you how to live your life, and your producers don't let you be free, and I'm simply trying to just do a show knowing the FCC is crawling up my ass every day. Are these scary times? Yes, these are scary times. When Jeff Bezos can tell me a product will be here in 2 days and it takes 3 days. I had to wait for a salad bowl. It took 3 days. Amazon Prime my ass. That's what I say. These are dark days. When billionaires, I don't know if Bernie can go on. I may have to retreat into one of my three mansions. Like Orson Welles in that movie, and wait for a rosebud to come, if you know what I mean. Rosebud's the name of the woman that I ordered. She's Asian. I may have to wait there and wait this out. The Trump apocalypse in one of my three mansions. pray for, but don't pray. I don't believe it. Pray to Karl Marx for me. Would you do that? Pray to Karl Marx and say, Karl Marx, where are you? We need you. We need you now more than ever. To come here to these oligarchs and say, we will not take it anymore. Let this be our Independence Day, like the movie with the aliens and the guy who shot down the White House and whatnot and blew it up. I watched that on the big screen in my mansion number two. In the, we have a movie theater there, streaming theater. I was going to do Snow White, but that broad's not that pretty, to be honest with you. I do like that Gal Gadot, though, am I right? Wonder Woman. Oof. Oof. Bernie had a little Bernie moving, if you know what I mean, watching Wonder Woman. That was a good one. But back to sad Bernie. I may go into one of my mansions and stay there. And ride this out. And say to the people of Vermont who can't see anyway because they're blind, because Medicaid has been shut off, and they're deaf because we can't buy them hearing aids, and they're toothless because they have no teeth, because of Trump's cuts to Medicaid and Medicare, I will say to you, I will not be sad Bernie anymore. Plus, when Rosebud gets there, that's my nickname for her, I'm going to get a nice massage. And we're going to end this on a happy note, okay?
That's better. That's better. That's good. That's how happy Bernie can get through this, I think, in one of his three mansions. It's good. So what do we think? Do we think I'm watching Will Cain's show. He's got everybody on this show now. Holy cow. He's got everybody coming on his show. Andrew Schultz is coming on tomorrow. Jimmy Fallon was on there yesterday. He's got Chris Jansen on there today, country music star. He just had the guys from the Ruthless podcast on. You ever listen to that, DeSantis?
I check it out occasionally. It's pretty good.
Is it?
It's a bunch of like DC consultants, I believe, right?
Hmm. Do they have Count Grandstangela, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band?
They don't have that. They're on Megyn Kelly's show a decent amount. I'll hear them there as well.
Mm, I'll take Dana Perino over the Megyn Kelly any day. You know what I mean? Well, from a strictly show perspective. What's that?
I said, why choose? We love them both. Well, Dana is great, though, yeah.
Can I have my music again real quick?
It's been Monday.
Put my glasses on.
I haven't been back on Fox News since Monday. These are hard times, you understand. It's Thursday. It's been 4 days since I've been able to plug myself on national television. I'm going to hide in one of my four mansions and read my books. My books are Karl Marx, the Hero, Karl Marx, the Myth, Karl Marx, the legend. And I'm going to look at pictures of AOC and watch that fighting video on rewind, if you know what I mean. I'm going to skip through the older broads, but I'm going to hold it on the first two. Bernie really likes that one broad, you know, with the angel wings. I call her Rosebud. I'm going to sit there on my big flat screen TV and try to get through this and watch that fight video and, you know, I'm glad my wife may be going to prison for embezzling from that college. I'll be watching that video a lot more, if you know what I mean. I should have some interns come to the house to help Bernie through these dark, dark times. Tell me you didn't love the AOC fighting video with the zebra in the background, am I right? All I kept thinking was blacklight. That's all I kept thinking. Bernie loves a good blacklight. Bernie loves a good blacklight.
Okay. We got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up for you. Peace is on the horizon. Is that really a thing? Yes, it is. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Is Putin going to accept the peace deal? It's looking that way. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.